you ladies can go check it all out. People ask me, how much is your jewelry? And I tell people it's for a love gift because I'm not in a business, I'm in a blessing. And if I start being in a business, then I'm going to be out of what God's called me to do. And I have to charge for my books because the IRS expects that I'm going to give them an itemized list of how much I got from my books, and Amazon keeps them up to date. So I do have my books back there. And I got my ladies' ties. You can see I got a tie there. I have two books that are devotional books that I wrote using my dad's poetry. And I also put a devotional with it and some scriptures and a prayer that you can use to start off your day. And I've been doing these on Facebook. So if you have followed me on Facebook, you'll know that I do some live videos of the devotionals, and I really believe that they will bless you. This is my first book, The Promise of Suddenly, and this is all about the suddenlies of life, and it talks about a lot of stories, true stories, about where God moved on someone's life suddenly. This is my second book on the covenants that God has called us to be in, and this book is called Keepers of Salt. The covenant that God had with David was called the Salt Covenant. And so if you are a person of covenant, that meant that you were a keeper of salt. And I have two other books. This one is called Creatures of the Forest. And this book is free on Amazon this weekend for Kindle. So if you want to get on, if you use electronic books, you just go on to Amazon Kindle and get this book because it's free till Monday morning. And I have this book called Peace, and it is a book about an angelic warrior by the name of Peace and how he brings peace into the lives of the people that he's allowed to touch. And so I'm going to share a little bit more about this Creatures of the Forest because God has put this on my heart. And I found it interesting that Laurel brought up the scripture Song of Solomon 2:17 about the little foxes. And I felt that that was confirmation. I began to pray and ask the Lord to give me a resource to give to people in order to combat the voices of the enemy. You know, the Bible says that we struggle not with flesh and blood, but we struggle with principalities and powers. And I read that scripture about the little foxes spoiling the vine, and God began to show me that our mind is like a forest, and in our forest we have thoughts. And these thoughts come, and they want to steal from us. They want to steal our hope and our joy, and our passion for life. And these, God began to show me, are like the creatures in the forest that just eat everything away. And so these thoughts, they want to destroy us, and they want to become Lord over our life. And we have to find a way to defeat them. But Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And so if we use the truth of Jesus, then we can find freedom. But the key word in that verse, as I told you last night, is not truth, it's know. You will know the truth. You will have an intimate relationship with the truth. Jesus is the truth. If we have an intimate relationship with Jesus, if we have an intimate relationship with his words, then we will find freedom. There is a war going on right now all over the United States to attack the words of Jesus. There are people who are literally rewriting the Bible, taking out the words of Jesus, and it's going to cause us to fail as the body of Christ. There's power in Jesus' words. You see, in John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. That says to me that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when he spoke something at the beginning of the creation of the world, it's the same Word that causes us to have victory today in our lives. And we need to believe the words of Jesus. And we need to make those words our own. We need to take God's word and eat his word and consume his word and think about his word and repeat his word and tell people his word and think about it again. And when we get down on our knees and we pray the words of Jesus. and it will bring freedom into our lives. Amen? It's going to happen. Because, you know, if things aren't working out for you, then maybe you've been listening to the wrong words. Because the Word of God works. The gospel works. We have liberty in the name of Jesus. We have liberty in the words of Jesus. Now, I was thinking about sharing, and I was thinking about Isaiah 43:1, and it says, "Now thus said Jehovah, thy creator." Did you see that? Thy creator. How was the world created? God spoke. Jesus is the Word. So Jesus, the Lord, Jehovah, the creator, and your fashioner, O Israel, be not afraid, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by thy name. You are mine. This is the words of Jesus. He says, I have redeemed you. I have called you my own. You belong to me. You know, we hear a lot of messages about redemption, and we don't realize that redemption is so much richer than what we have thought about. But to be redeemed also means to be refashioned. And I thought about what Bonnie had to say last night. And she was talking about the Japanese art of filling in the cracks with the gold. They're refashioning that piece of pottery that was broken. God wants to refashion you. He wants to restore you. He says, I have redeemed you. I bought you back. I brought you back, but I'm refashioning you. I'm going to take that which the devil stole from you and make it into something really beautiful. Amen? This is what God wants to do for you. This is what he has already designed from before the beginning of time. You know, when Jesus created the earth, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the beginning and he is the end. So what he saw at creation, he saw today. And he caused so many things to happen in your life to bring you to this place where you can be refashioned. And the devil may have stolen from you. The devil may have stolen your virtue, your good name, your passion, your health. It doesn't matter what the devil stole from you, because Jesus said, I have redeemed you. And so I'm going to refashion you. I'm going to create you into a thing of beauty. Those dishes that Bonnie was talking about, it was so significant to me, because I'd just been looking at that the day before and had been talking to a friend about these Japanese dishes and how that they, when they're broken, and they put the gold in them. One of the things that is so significant is that once they put the gold in the dish is now much more valuable than it was before it was broken. And this is what God is speaking over us today. Ladies, you are of so much more value than you ever were. The things that God is doing in your life is causing there to be something of value inside of you. I have a friend, a pastor's wife in Western New York. She's a good friend of mine. Her name is Vanessa. Many years ago, she had a little boy. She's got other children, but she had this little boy, and he was born deaf. She said, I didn't really know why he was born deaf. He was profoundly deaf. He could not hear anything. And she said the doctor said to her, it doesn't make sense because there's nobody in either of your families that have this condition. Well, he was profoundly deaf, and he was just, as you can imagine, the joy of her heart. It didn't matter that he was deaf. And they were finishing up church one Sunday afternoon, and her little boy was out in the parking lot. And one of the elders of the church didn't see him and backed up and drove over him, and he died. Well, I'll tell you, Vanessa began to seek the Lord, and of course it broke her heart, and it was just an awful thing to have to go through. But God began to speak to her and tell her that she needed to forgive that man, even though it was an accident. She needed to forgive him. You see, forgiveness is not something we do for the other person. It's what you do for yourself. And it's a key to restoration. And so she said, I began to pray for him, and I spoke to him, and I said, I love you, and I forgive you. And you know, that man never left the church. There was such a joy and such a spirit of true forgiveness that they remained really close friends. And after a while, she began to realize she was probably never going to have any more children, and her other children were grown, and she and her husband went off on a holiday. When she came home, she was pregnant. And it was amazing because she gave birth to a little girl on the day that her little boy died. And she was born profoundly deaf. And she said, God began to show me how that he can bring redemption even out of something as tragic as the death of her child. I have a friend in the Philippines, very dear friend. And her father was also my friend. He was a great man. His name was Pastor Romulo. Pastor Romulo would always say to me, he'd say, Sister Debbie, how are things in Africa? He always spoke that way. And I'd say, oh, they're good. They're good. And he'd say, I was in Africa today in prayer. That man, I don't think he'd ever left this little island out in the South China Sea, but in prayer, he would be in Africa, and he would be in India, and he would be in all these different places of the world. And he would ask me about my husband and about our ministry. And he had a son that was about 17 years old, and he was teaching his son how to drive a motorcycle. And on the very first day, his son hit the edge of the road, and Pastor Romulo went flying off the motorcycle and died. Well, my other friend, Pastor June, he was so close to Pastor Romulo. Pastor Romulo had been his best friend. And Pastor June said, he told me this story. He says, Sister Debbie, I felt from the Lord that I needed to take that young man and have a meeting with his family. He said, you know, even if it's not your fault and something bad happens and it's wrong, you need to apologize, even if it's not your fault. So he took the family together, and he took the young man and there's like 12 kids. There's a whole bunch of them. And they all got together. And the young man went to his mom and his brothers and his sisters, and he said, I'm so sorry. Would you forgive me for killing Dad? I'm so sorry. Will you forgive me for killing Dad? And every one of them offered him forgiveness, and every one of those children are in ministry. They lost no one. Not one member of the family walked away from the Lord. Every one of those children are in ministry. That young man went to Manila, went to Bible school. He's in a powerful ministry today. Now, the devil could have stolen his life. The devil could have caused that whole family to be shipwrecked. The devil could have taken that mother and put her in such a place of despair and discouragement that she would not have a happy day the rest of her life. But I want you to know that woman is pastoring her husband's ministry, and she's doing a better job than he ever did. I knew them both, and he was a wonderful man, but I'll tell you, this woman is a pastor. And she's doing the job. She just founded another church out in a village. And every time I go there, I look at all of the things that she's doing, and I think about what could have happened if they had wallowed in their despair, if they had lived in their brokenness. Jesus said, I have redeemed you. There is no situation in your life that cannot be redeemed. My friend Vanessa, she needed that child to be redeemed in some way. And God found a way. She said, you know, I never think about that day as being the day that my son died. I always think of it as the day that my daughter was born. That whole situation was redeemed. How about for you? What do you need to have redeemed in your life, so that you can be everything God called you to be. We all go through things. And we all have these, like I like to call them, creatures of the forest. We all have these thoughts, these things that come to our mind. And if we entertain them, then they cause something to get deep into our spirit, and it's a foothold of the enemy. And if we allow it to stay, then it builds a house in us. And if we allow it to stay, then it begins to build a community in our children. And God has called us to be people who deal with things quickly. You know, I love to study the book of Judges. There's something about the book of Judges that always stirs up my spirit. And it's one of the things that I teach on when I go to other countries. You see, every story in the book of Judges starts and ends exactly the same way. The children of Israel did what was right in their own eyes. And then they fell into sin. They fell into bondage. They cried out to the Lord. The Lord sent them a redeemer. While the redeemer was there, they had peace in the land. The redeemer died. They did what was right in their own eyes. They fell into sin, and they fell into bondage. And it's been so easy in America these days for us to just do what we think is right in our own eyes. And we need a redeemer. We need that power and that word from Jesus that says, I have redeemed you. You are mine. I've called you by name. You have value. You are a special person in my kingdom. And I'm going to use you and change you, even if you don't think you can be changed. If you will allow me, I will do the work. We all have words and voices that come to our mind. I love the Chinese parable that says, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop him from building a nest in your hair. You can't stop the thoughts from coming at you, because they're just going to come at you. They just are. But God has called us to be mighty warriors, that we take every thought captive. How do we take every thought captive? Well, you know, I go to the mall. I love to go to shopping malls. I go to the mall. I walk around and I listen to music and I hear things I don't like. And then I come home and I'm still hearing the song that I don't like. And you know how you get rid of it? You sing a different song. That's how you get rid of it. If you have bad thoughts in your mind, you have to think a new thought. And it doesn't do you any good to just imagine it or to write it down once or just flip through your Bible. You have to just get a word from God that's in the Word of God that says, I have redeemed you, you are mine, and you write that down and you mark it in red and you color it in and highlight it and stick it on the refrigerator, because you go there many times a day. And you put it on your bathroom mirror. And you stick it in the car, and you take it in your purse, and you write it down. And when you have lunch, you read it. And when you have dinner, you read it. You see, when we're sick and we go to the doctor, what do? We go to the doctor and we say, I'm sick. I need something. And he says, oh, yes, you have bronchitis. So I'm going to write you a prescription. He writes you a prescription. If you don't have the money, you call people up and say, I really need to get this prescription. I'm really sick. Can you loan me the money? Or we borrow it. Or you do something to get the money. And you go to Walmart, to the pharmacy. You pick up that prescription. You take it home. And it says, take this every 4 hours. So you say, okay, I took it at 10 o'clock. I'm going to take it at 10. Now I'm going to take it at 2. And then I take it at 6. And then I take it at 10. And this is the way you're going to do it with the Word of God. You're going to take it every 4 hours. You read it. You read it. You read it. And you make it your own. You eat God's Word. You consume God's Word. You make God's Word your own until it is no longer your thoughts that are coming into your mind, but it is the thoughts of Almighty God. This is how we defeat those little creatures of the forest. This is how we do spiritual battle. It's not by might, not by power, but by God's Spirit, says the Lord. And we don't fight against principalities, and against flesh and blood, but we fight against principalities and powers who have set themselves up in a high place in you. Because the kingdom of God is in you. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is not far off. The kingdom of God is in you. And so these principalities and powers are trying to tear apart your kingdom. They're trying to defeat you. But I want you to know, God can redeem anything. You know, I think about Rahab. Isn't Rahab a wonderful story of redemption? Here she was, this prostitute. She was a woman who lived on the city wall, and she had people come to her establishment all the time. And Joshua sent out the spies to go into the land, and they come to her house, and they begin to talk to her, and she talks to them, and she has that little bit of faith. Not a lot. She just had a little bit of faith. You know, that's all you need. You don't have to have an awful lot of faith. I wrote a book that happens to be out of print right now. It's called The Stormwalker. And it's all about Jesus and Peter walking on the water. Well, the thing that is so significant to me about Peter and Jesus walking on the water is that Peter's the only one that got out of the boat. I look at that story, and I can just imagine. The Bible says they were all afraid. They were all crying out in fear. They saw something on the water, and they all said it was a ghost. So they're afraid, and they're so superstitious. They've been with Jesus day after day after day, and yet their mind could not conceive of an idea that any man, even Jesus, could be walking on the water. But Peter, he said, Lord, if it's you, if it's really you, you tell me to come out because I want to do it too. And so Jesus said, yes, it's me. Come on. And so Peter gets out of the boat. And I can just imagine all those disciples grabbing onto his coat and saying, don't get out of the water. You're going to die. These guys have been fishermen. It had to have been a really bad storm because this was their career. They weren't afraid of that. They knew that water. That was like their hometown. But they're terrified. And I can just imagine them pulling on him. Don't go, Peter. You're going to die. You're going to die. We don't know what that is. But Peter says, I know what that is. And Peter got out on the water, and he starts to walk. And then all of a sudden, he sees the waves, and he sees the storm, and he sees the tempest. And you know the story. And all of a sudden, he starts to go down. And Peter cries out to the Lord, help me. And Jesus shows up immediately, takes him by the hand, and they walk together, and they get back into the boat. And then Jesus said to Peter, oh, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? Now, we think that Jesus is criticizing Peter. No, he's saying to Peter, you were doing it, buddy. What'd you quit for? You were doing it. You know, when we have a little kid and they're learning to walk and we're just walking along with them, holding them by the hand, and then all of a sudden they're like, I can do it. I can do it. So you let go of their hand and they walk about 6 or 7 steps and they fall down. We don't yell at them and say, what was wrong with your faith? We say, come on, you can do it. You were doing it. You were doing it. You were doing it. That's what Jesus was saying to Peter. You were doing it. You were doing it. You had a little bit of faith. It was all you needed. Rahab had a little bit of faith. She didn't really know who God was, but she had an idea, and she knew that the God of Israel was greater than all the gods that lived in her city. And she made an arrangement with the spies. She said, I'm going to let you out. I'll hide you. They won't find you. I'm going to let you out. But when you come and your God gives you the victory, remember me. And remember, she let them out by the scarlet thread. And they said, if that scarlet rope is still hanging from the window, when we come, we will find you. And they redeemed her. They repositioned her. They repurposed her. They changed her life. She's in the lineage of Jesus. She became the great-great-grandmother of David. She was redeemed. She was repurposed. She was recreated. And all she had was a little faith. Ladies, you got lots of faith. I'll tell you, you had so much faith today that we would be here, that you came. We all have faith. It's just a matter of what you do with it. When I go traveling around the United States or in different countries, I'll look at these bridges, and I'll look at these great big buildings, and I just imagine, I say, oh, God, may I have the same faith that that unbeliever had to build that great big building, to convince banks to support him, to convince the city fathers to be able to put that in the middle of their city, and to believe that people would invest and rent their suites and rent their apartments. Oh, God, may I have at least that much faith. Everybody was born with faith. Unbelievers have faith. It's more than likely that your biggest mall in the Harrisburg area was built by someone who is an unbeliever, but he had enormous faith. And he believed in something bigger than who he is. You have faith. You have faith. What more could we do in the name of Jesus if we could understand the amount of faith that God has just dropped into our hearts? What more could we do? God looks at your life and he doesn't say, oh my goodness, she blew it. There's nothing more left for her. Oh no. When you're repurposed, you're of more value. When you are restored, you have more value. When you come back into the things of God, God is pleased. Because this is what he created you to be. He created you to be an overcomer. And he gives you the ability to overcome every single day. God can restore anything. He can restore your relationships. He can restore your family, your husband, your children, your community. He can do anything. I'm so inspired when I think about the day of 9/11, when those airplanes hit the Twin Towers. And it was 19 men who had faith in an evil God who covenanted together to do something wicked, and they changed the whole world. There's more than 19 of us in this room today. What could we do if we could understand the power of God that is in our lives? You have the ability to touch nations. You have the ability to change situations that you just never thought you could do. I believe that. Do you believe that? You can do this. You can do this. You know, the people that struck those Twin Towers, they were poor people. They came from poor countries. They had no hope. They had no future, but they believed they could change the world, and they did it. And I'll tell you, the prices of chocolate and Hershey are reflected in that act. It's true. Gasoline. Everything changed. Little bitty countries I go to, they all changed because those men had faith in an evil God. If they can do that, you can affect your family. You can affect your kids. You can affect your grandkids. You can change your marriage. You can affect your community. We can do something in the United States. We can do something in our part of the world. We can change the way things are. We don't have to stay the way we are. Your situation doesn't have to stay the way it is. It can change. My niece, Angelina, she came to me one day. She said, oh, Aunt Debbie, I want to make some chocolate chip cookies. Now, I have to tell you, Angelina is not a baker. The poor girl, she set her microwave on fire a few times. And I wondered, how is this girl ever going to make it in life? And she was staying with me because my house was closer to her university. And she said, I've got this boyfriend I want to go see, and I want to take him some chocolate chip cookies. He said those are his favorite kind of cookie. And she said, would it be okay? Do you have the ingredients? I said, don't worry, I got the ingredients. You just go. And I gave her the cookbook, and I showed her the directions. And she's a night owl, and I'm not, so I just went to bed. I got up the next morning. And the kitchen is a mess. She is sitting in the living room sobbing. And it's a wonder my smoke detector hadn't gone off, because the whole house is full of smoke. And I said, Angelina, what happened? She said, I burned every one of them. I said, oh, honey, don't worry about that. We can fix that. She said, you can't fix burnt cookies. I said, I can. I said, watch me. I took all of her chocolate chip cookies, and I took one of my little graters, and I grated off all of the burnt edges, and then I dipped them in chocolate, and I said, voila, you've got beautiful cookies. She took them to her boyfriend, and he said, those are the best cookies I've ever eaten. I said, honey, you can redeem anything. I was praying for a pastor, a bunch of pastors in the Philippines last year. And I have to tell you, I'm a real girly girl. So when I go out and do some of these things in the Philippines and in Africa, it's really out of my own personal comfort zone, because that's just not me. I don't go camping. I don't eat outside. I don't do any of those things. When we have a picnic at my mother's house in her backyard, I sit inside by myself and eat and let them eat outside. And then they come in and they join me. I'm not an outdoor person. I don't like those things. I don't get into those things. I'm a real girly girl. And I've got two toenails that are extremely ugly. I took after my father. He had bad toenails. I had them. So you know what I do? I glue fake ones on. So I have all these fake toenails. Well, I was praying for these pastors. And this guy had, I don't know what kind of shoes they were, but they were like strong, powerful shoes. And the power of God hit that guy, and he went down, and his shoe caught my toenail and ripped it right off my toe. And I'm standing there, and it ripped off what little nubbin I had, and it ripped off the fake one, and I'm still praying for people, and I'm dripping blood all the way across the front of the church and around the other side of the church. And when we got back to the place where I was staying, I looked at it, and I thought, well, I can fix that. So I went to the next meeting, and the pastor said, are you okay? I says, don't worry. He said, your toe looks good. I says, oh, yeah, there's nothing that Jesus and super glue can't fix. I super glued that thing right back on my foot, and I said, in Jesus' name, you're going to stick there till I get home. And it did. It did. You know, Jesus, I know that it's funny, but the thing is, the point of the story is true. There's nothing Jesus can't fix. There's nothing he can't fix. I don't care what's going on in your life or what hard times you're going through. There's nothing Jesus can't fix. I don't care how hard the situation is, how hard the husband is, how hard the kids are, or where they happen to be located. There is nothing that can't be fixed and redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that when we finish today, we're going to spend some time praying for you. We're going to spend some time imparting some things back inside of you, restoring things that the enemy has stolen from you. I believe that God brought us here today so that you could find freedom and redemption and strength for the life that you live where you live. Because God wants us to be the best us that we can be. He wants us to be repurposed for his kingdom. I was preaching in West Africa one week. I was at a pastor's church and we were preaching. I was doing a whole series of meetings. On the last day, I had talked to them about forgiveness. And I had shared with them that we need to forgive because it releases something inside of us when we forgive. Like I said, forgiveness is not for them. It doesn't matter if they deserve it or not. Forgiveness is for you. Because if you don't forgive, then you close the door to the healing of Jesus. And so I was saying to them, you need to forgive people. And I'd preached about it all week. And I'd finished this one service with, I want you to just go around the church. And if there's someone that you have been holding unforgiveness against, you guys need to get together and make this thing right. go tell them you're sorry and ask them to forgive you. And it was so amazing because that can be a really hard thing to do. And there was about 350 people there that day, and they got up and they were doing it. And they're walking around the church and they're praying for each other. And I said, if the person that hurt you is not here, or if they have died, or if they live far away, or you can't reach them, I said, I want you to take somebody that you respect and love, that someone that is, you know, like the pastor or one of the elders or someone that you really trust, maybe your best friend, and you go to them, and I want you to say to them, you be a witness between me and God that today I forgive that person. And so they were doing that, and I was seeing God move in miraculous ways all through the church, and it was so exciting. And I'm just sitting up there and watching it. And it happened to be in a language I didn't know. So I really wasn't following everything, but I could see what God was doing. And I saw this old lady go up to my friend, Pastor Augustine. And Pastor Augustine was like my son. And he, this lady was shaking her fist at him and pointing her finger. And she's just going and going and going. And I thought, oh, dear, oh, poor Pastor Augustine. I'm going to have to really pray for him after the service because she is telling him off. I was sure she was giving him the list of things that he had done to offend her, which was not really the point. But I had a feeling that's what she was doing. And so I'm just thinking, oh, poor Pastor Augustine, as soon as this is over, I'm going to have to really help him. And then he comes up and sits next to me, and he's fine. And a few minutes later, he said, Mama, look, then. I'm looking, you know, everybody's moving around and I just don't see what's going on. And he says, look. And in the back of the church, in the very back of the church, there was this young woman who was crawling on her hands and knees with a baby strapped to her back. And she's crawling on her hands and knees, and she comes all the way up the aisle of the church. She comes right over where that older woman was sitting, and she laid her head in the woman's lap. And Pastor Augustine is crying, and he's crying, and he's crying, and all of a sudden the whole room gets silent. And everybody's crying. And he says, look. And I'm like, I'm looking, but I don't understand what's going on. He said, you see that old woman? Do you see her when she spoke to me? And I said, yeah. He said, she came to me, and she said, I want you to be a witness between God and me. Today I forgive my daughter. I have not seen my daughter in 2 years. 4 times she has tried to kill me, and she left home. And all I want is to forgive her today, and I want my daughter home. And he said, Mama, that's the daughter. My goodness, I'm watching this thing. And I'm seeing God restore that broken relationship and fix that situation that looked impossible in an instant. She wasn't born again. She was just walking by. And the Holy Spirit grabbed her and pulled her in. She was not a believer. She wasn't a Christian. She hated her mother. This was not something that she did on her own, nor was she in the meeting and felt, you know, encouraged in her heart to forgive her mother. No, she was a heathen walking past the church doors. And by the power of God, she was pulled inside, and she came on her hands and knees, and she laid her head in her mother's lap. And today, they're still in church together, serving the Lord in that same church. You were divinely created, and the devil messed with you. And he hurt you, and he broke you, and he stole from you. But you have been redeemed. You have been called back into the kingdom of God. You have been repurposed. You have been restored. And if you're not experiencing it, we want to impart that back into you today. I want to encourage you. You can be everything God created you to be. You can be successful in the kingdom of God. You can have your children sitting in church with you. It's possible. I believe it. I've seen God do it. I don't preach these things out of something I haven't experienced. I've seen God move in my family. I've seen God move in my ministry. I've seen God move in my relationship with my husband. I want to ask you, are you willing to say to God, whatever it takes? One day, after I'd been in Africa for about a year and a half, I'd had it. Because something broke in my husband when we went to Africa. And I would try to understand what had happened. I would try to talk to him, and he wouldn't talk. But we weren't communicating, and it was hard. I was on the other side of the world. I was by myself. And my husband's hardly speaking to me, and I said to him, "What's wrong? What happened? I just don't understand." And he said, "I can't explain it." And that was all I get. And I remember one day God spoke to me. And I was in my bedroom in a foreign city. And God began to speak to me from Ezekiel about the dry bones. And God said to Ezekiel, "Can these bones live?" And Ezekiel looked at those bones, and God said, "Speak to the wind. Speak to the wind." So I went to my window in my bedroom, and this is exactly what I did. I opened up the window, and I just yelled, and I said, "Okay, God, in the name of Jesus, I draw a line in the sand. There's nothing I can do about this situation, but I say, go, you north wind, south wind, east wind, and west. You breathe the life of God back into this man, and I don't care what it takes." I said, "I'm drawing a line in the sand, and I'm done. I'm not going to fight with you, devil, anymore." And you know what was amazing? About 3 hours later, I got a phone call. Now, I can tell you that probably I got a phone call when my grandmother died. And maybe one other person called me. This was the only three phone calls from the United States that I ever got. And this was a girlfriend of mine from Florida. She said, "Debbie, I've been praying for you today. And God told me to call you and tell you that a line has been drawn in the sand." And I'm going to tell you the rest of the story after lunch. But I speak over your dry bones today. And I speak to the wind, the Holy Spirit. And I say, "Come from the east and the west, the north and the south, and blow upon these women today. Father, in Jesus' name, I speak over them and I declare over them that they shall live. And whatever there is in their life that is like death and trying to destroy their joy, whatever it is that is causing depression and thoughts of suicide, Father, I come against those spirits of death in Jesus' name. And I declare that these bones will live. And not only will they live, but they will fulfill the call that God has put upon their life. Not only will they live, but they will see their children live. They will see their grandchildren live. They will see success in their home. They will see healing in their body. They will see their marriages redeemed and restored and repurposed. They will see hope in their heart. They will experience the mighty power of Almighty God. Because it is by your Spirit, it is by your anointing that you have called these bones to live. Father, I declare that you are doing mighty things. Prepare our hearts today, Lord, to receive what you have for us. That we would be strengthened in you. That we would be repurposed in you, and that we would find you to be our all in all, everything that we need. I declare all these things to be so. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. God bless you.